Well, I thought today we'd just touch on something that the Lord blessed me with again this week, a reminder of something. And the further I got into it, the more I realized, oh, I see where you're going with this, Lord. That's pretty good. Because I thought it was just going to be a little short thing. Let's start with, again, asking Him to be here and in our presence. This isn't a matter of formality. This isn't a matter of something we do ritualistic. I'm serious when I pray. You say, you're always serious when you pray? No, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I bow my head and thank God for the food and those other things, and it's kind of mundane, kind of routine. Just do it. But I'll tell you what, if the Lord ever let us get really hungry, we'd pray different when we said thank you. Turn over to Mark 16 and John 20. Hang on to both of those spots. Mark 16, John 20. I was listening to some stuff this week, and man, I just started getting blessed again all over. And it was just about, why did Jesus Christ appear to a woman first? I mean, He didn't choose any disciples as women. But when He was raised from the dead, the first one He showed Himself to was a woman. And He picked Peter, James, and John. He picked His disciples. But He didn't show Himself to them. That's something that's really kind of a, wow, Lord, why'd you do that? I don't know if you get curious about your Creator. I don't know if He stirs you at all to wonder why certain things happen certain ways. There's so many little details that are left out when He writes this book. You can just keep on going and asking questions about, well, why this and why that and what's happening here, Lord? I don't get it. And He'll show you if it's in His best interest to do it. Matter of fact, if God does anything for you at all, it's in His best interest. Like I said before, He didn't create us to give Himself a place to send His blessings to. That's not what this is about. He created us for His pleasure. Just like the things that you buy and things that you get and obtain, they're supposed to have a purpose, and that purpose is supposed to be something for your benefit. And the Lord had purpose in everything that He's created, like that stuff we saw last week, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. And I'll just touch on something else, too, real quick. I was watching a program put out by NOVA, and it talked about the earth and the harmonics that it's producing. And the earth has a harmonic wave, a magnetic wave, electromagnetic wave, that resonates around it on out to the ionosphere. And it sets it at just about an exact 8 hertz, which is just slightly below our hearing. I mean, somebody with real good hearing might catch 10. Most of us are around 20 on up to around 240,000 if you got good ears. But it's just below our hearing range. It's a very low tone. And I got thinking about that. Here this resonance is, and every time there's a lightning strike, you know, this thing gets energized a little bit more. It's like a battery or something. And you can see this thing pulsing every time there's a lightning strike on the entire planet. Doesn't matter where it's at. And I think they said there was something like 100 every second or something like that. Just crazy numbers. I got thinking about that 8 hertz. And I remember the verse about the stars sing to Him. You know what that 8 hertz is? That's a tone. I mean, if you could hear it, that's what it'd be. So here He's got all these planets out there with all these different tones going on that He can hear. Interesting, isn't it? So why didn't Jesus appear to Peter and James or John first after He was raised from the dead? Well, Mark 16, 9 to 10 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils. And she went out and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. Well, maybe it was because He was wanting to check up and see how she was doing. Not hardly. Let me tell you something. The Lord doesn't have to come to you to find out how you're doing. He knows already. And we keep thinking that we're putting something over on the Lord a lot of times. We go around because we can fake each other out a little bit. We have this air about us when we come to God that we're better than we are. That's a fact. Over in John 20, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 18, quite a little bit of a read, but it's a good read. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, if you want to get a real understanding of what was going on here, you look up Mary Magdalene and do a little research on Mary Magdalene, and it shows you all kinds of reference where they were sitting over here, and they came while it was still very dark, and they were waiting and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, back to verse 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now that's that proof about the Shroud of Turin is not one that was on the Lord's face. How come? Because that shroud's one piece. What the Lord had on him was two pieces. They were separated. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Isn't that interesting? He talks about they, and then all of a sudden it's I. He's directing that thing down to one of those two ladies. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad that they saw the Lord. Now what's going on here with this thing? Well, what's going on here is the Lord's a character, man. I mean, don't you think it would have been more impressive if he'd have showed himself to all of them at once? Why does the Lord pick out one person like that and then show himself to her alone? You don't even read where there was anybody else there anymore. I mean, they first start talking, and then all of a sudden it directs back down to this one woman, and he showed himself first to her, not them. So why is that? Well, there's some reasons behind it. There's purpose behind it. Number one, she didn't recognize him right at first. How come? Well, verse 15, Jesus saith unto him, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to have been the gardener. She didn't recognize him. Well, why not? Well, it was still really early in the morning. How early? Well, actually, it was really dark. The first day of the week, Mary cometh early, while it was yet dark unto the sepulchre. You say, well, how light was it? Well, first of all, way late in the evening or early in the morning like that, you may be able to see silhouettes, but you've got to get really close to them if there's not enough light. And here in Pensacola, I mean, you can't ever get a good look at the stars because there's so much light all the time, 24 hours a day. You got to get out there away from everything to see this stuff. In fact, that's why they set up a bunch of these things. That guy that was showing that stuff on the 8 hertz that the world produces, he had to get way off out there in an isolated part of Rhode Island because all the rest of the stuff was having an effect on it. You get out there where it's really dark, you're not carrying around flashlights. I don't know if you've ever tried to see by a candlelight, you know, outside of a hurricane situation, but candlelight doesn't work very good. It'll get you by. It's better than nothing. I mean, the best thing you can have if you had a candle or a lantern is a mirror above the thing, so when you walk, it's showing back down to the ground. Or you can pick it up and kind of direct the light. But when that thing is just light all the way around, you get it up there, it's in your face, and you can't see anything out there. So for her not to recognize him wasn't any big deal, really, because the hour was early in the morning. Anyway, now she was the only one to see him before he sent it to his father. Man, think about that. I mean, have you ever stopped to think what God the Father and God the Son did when they met right after that? My, oh my, man, that was not just, well, I've not yet ascended. Okay, now handle me and see, I've ascended. There was some stuff going on up there in heaven. I ain't kidding. And he left every bit of that out. That's the kind of stuff that's in this book that's only between the lines. And unless you're curious about the Lord, you stop and think about that relationship and get a handle on what he's saying there. Man, that is something else. He gets up there. Don't you think the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, was happy about the fact that, man, that's over? Don't you think it was something else to see his father who had raised him from the dead? My, oh my, man. There were some things going on there. And I said this a while back, and I still believe it's true. What do you think the Lord was doing while he was laying in that tomb? You want to know? He was doing nothing, man. He was dead. You say, well, what, he just lay there for 3 days? 3 days and three nights. But you realize that the third night, when that thing started out at 6 o'clock Saturday night, they didn't show up till the first day of the week. That's Sunday morning. Well, what was he doing between Saturday night, 6 o'clock, and Sunday morning, daybreak? Just laying there waiting? No. He was out of there. My guess is he went down there and preached to the spirit in the prisons, and he led captivity captive between 6 o'clock Saturday night and daybreak Sunday morning. You say, well, how'd he get there? Man, he didn't have to have an ascension to his father to go through solid walls at that point. If you think that he had to go up and see his father, how do you think he got there supernaturally? The Lord didn't send no chariot. He didn't send a whirlwind. I mean, he said, I have not yet ascended. He had the power to go up and come on back anytime he wanted. So what he did was he went on down into their spirits in prison, preached to them, and then he leaves captivity captive, man. Come on, Abraham. Everybody, we're getting out of here. We're done. You don't have to listen to them weeping and wailing no more and bugging you for water. Amen. This is over now. But he met her before he'd even ascended to his father. Now think about that. What in the world would make that woman so much different than everybody else that he appeared to her first, alone with her, and she's the only one that ever saw him in that state? Man, that's some woman. There's something special about that gal. What did he look like the last time she saw him? His visage was so marred that you couldn't tell who he was. That was the last time she saw him. And all of a sudden, here's this guy standing there in the garden talking to her. But she just looked over and saw him, and supposing he'd been the gardener, that's when she started in with this business of, you know, tell him where you put him. You tell me where they took him, and I'll go minister to him. Well, what happened there? Well, she told the others, but they wouldn't believe her, even after that happened. What do you think happened right immediately after she saw him and she says, Rabboni? What do you think was going on at that moment in time? There was something different about that woman. I ain't kidding you. You're going to see a little more of that in a minute. And when she told him, the other people wouldn't believe her. Back over in Mark 16, 9 to 14. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them that walked on the way to the country. They didn't believe it. Now, do you think when she walked in there and started telling these guys what was going on, that the Lord was alive, do you think it was like, hey guys, I just want to let you know I saw Jesus? You think that's the way that was? What was going on? Man, she was almost out of her head with joy. Literally. She didn't go in there, you know, just saying, well, I think I saw him. It might have been the Lord. She knew who he was. And she went in and she told him with great joy. And they're like, you're right. We know what he looked like. We know he's dead. You know, we saw it, man. Don't kid us. What's wrong? Oh, ye little faith. That's what the problem is, man. They didn't have enough faith to really trust. Now, at that point, yeah, they were having to trust her a little bit. But they had not had Jesus Christ himself make it clear that that business about tear this temple down and I'll build it back up in 3 days and all that stuff. You know, you see me for a little while and then I'm going to be gone and then I'm going to come back. They didn't understand all that stuff. But don't you think that some of them would have said, man, you suppose it's so? We remember everything else he did. Maybe it's true. You'd have thought something, but nope. They just turned him down flat. Boy, that was it. I mean, she didn't have to start questioning Jesus Christ when he says, you know, Mary, whoa, I know who you are. She got it, boy. She got it right off. You know what our problem is? We're like the disciples. They weren't looking for him. Amen. When he says he came down to earth to see if there's any, sought after him and found none, he ain't kidding. We're not seeking God. Amen. You think I'm kidding? We're not seeking God. What we want is what he can do for us. We're not seeking him. She wasn't interested in what he could do for her. She was there for him. That's what was going on. Those things are different. Next, on the two on the road to Emmaus. What about the road to Emmaus? Well, the two on the road to Emmaus, they're walking along. The Lord starts talking to them. Starts asking them all kinds of questions, you know. And they say, well, you know, all of these things happen. He said, what things, you know? Now, what is that about God that he would question them like that? I mean, that's like a kid coming up to dad saying, isn't it getting close to Christmas time? What's Christmas? You know very well what it is. What are you doing? You're teasing your kids. You know what the Lord was doing? He was teasing those two guys. I mean, he wasn't trying to get them to answer questions. It wasn't no quiz test. It wasn't pass or fail here. He was teasing them. And finally, when they finally get all the way done with this thing, they don't really get it. Until after he miraculously vanished from their sight. And not only that, but he had to tell them specifically who he was and expose those things in the scripture. All they knew was, man, this is different. We feel good here. That's like a lot of Christians. You come into this place and the Lord gets in this place, you'll be singing those songs and you start to feel good, but you don't really recognize what's here. You don't get it. It's just, well, I like that. Well, I like those songs. I like how great thou art. I love the one it's about. That's what it is. It's not just, well, I like that song, you know. It's not about those songs that touch you. It's who those songs are about. That's what's important. And if you think it's just a song, well, I like this song. Be quiet, I don't want to listen to this song. You missed it. And if you come here and that's all you're looking for is just another lesson, you just come here looking for something that'll kind of stir you in fellowship with the saints, you know, and some stuff like that. Place to go meet together and have a good time and maybe watch somebody kind of get in the spirit a little bit. Maybe listen to me cry or some crazy thing. Say, man, that guy's an emotional, you know, weeping prophet or some crazy thing. Listen, I have prayed for a compassionate, understanding heart for 30 some years. I wouldn't take nothing for it. I can't even envision what I'll feel like when I see him. I was sitting there studying this morning. I was reading that stuff about the two on the road to Emmaus and said, did not our souls yearn within us? That's how I feel. That's the way I feel. Just something inside of me just pulling. Just pulling. Man, Lord. Can't imagine what it would be like when I finally see you. How many people you think get that? Really? How many Christians today are going to be in a church service and they're going to miss all of that? What they missed is they missed him because they didn't come looking for him. They came looking for what was in it for them. And unfortunately, the vast majority of them are doing it out of sense of duty. And the only thing they're going to get when they go home was, I did that which was my duty to do. It's like my wife when she goes in and cleans the kitchen up. That feels good. That's done. At least for today. That's all they get from going to church. It's just, well, that's done. That's not what this is about, man. This is something else. We're supposed to be going forward. We're supposed to be growing. We're not just supposed to be in a recovery mode. We're supposed to be changed from glory to glory. What glory? That's the glory he reveals in us. When he reveals that stuff, it changes you. Those two on the road to Emmaus, boy, they had something inside of them, but they still didn't get it. The reason they didn't get it is because they weren't looking for it.
Yeah.
People come into church, they're not looking for it, man. Right. I'll tell you what. You start looking for him, he'll start listening.
Yes, sir.
He'll start finding out what's going on inside of your heart.
Yes,
and he's going to want to know what's down in there. And when those things are directed toward him, that's when the fellowship begins. When you begin to think of him and his greatness and his generosity to you, it'll change you on the inside.
Yes.
And that's from glory to glory. Even though she didn't recognize him, she knew his voice. You know his voice. And when he comes in here, you know, and he starts moving around, you recognize his voice. Or is that just, what is it? Manna. What is that? What is that? Stop and think about it. Man, this stuff, this book is so connected all the way through that this stuff ties back in. The Israelites called that stuff manna, which is, what is it? You know how many Christians go, what is it? Well, it's God feeding his children. That's what it is. So they can grow spiritually.
Yes.
Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge and understanding of who he is. They go, what is it? Well, I'm going to get some more of that. I'll go out there and get me an extra blessing. You can't play with God like that. You can't control what he does by your desires unless your desires are toward him. Now, if your desires are toward him, that's something else. If your desires are just to get a feeling, you missed it, boy. It's never been about what he has that he can give you. It's always been about the King of Glory, man. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. When we finally get a hold of that, we'll be understanding a lot more than we understand now. She knew his voice. So why did he appear to her first? Look over in Luke. Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 36 to 47. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat with the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and would wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he saith unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears. I don't ever expect to get to wash his feet with my tears, but I know he collects them in a bottle. And I know he collects two different kinds of tears. Some of my tears are from suffering. Most of my tears are from pure joy knowing who he is and having him show up and get close to me. And like I've taught this before, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God. And when he shows up and your heart's right with him, he proves it to you that this is what he desires. This is what he receives with pleasure, which is acceptable. What is that? That's love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith and temperance. I mean, you get the whole thing. I mean, this is not, you know, well, now you get the first course of the meal and now you get the next course of the meal. When you get that, that is supernatural. Love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and goodness. Can you use a little more faith? He fills that faith up. How come? Because his presence is real. Well, you don't need as much faith because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But man, when you start feeling, can you see heat? Touch the stove, man. Well, I can't see it. Touch the stove, it'll get real. Well, just get close. All you got to do is feel it. You don't have to touch it. Lord gets close. I know that thing's hot. How do you know? You haven't touched it. I felt it. That's where that faith comes in. God becomes more and more real to you the more and more you accomplish his will for you. What's his will for you? For you to love him. For you to be connected to him. For you to appreciate who he is. What he's done for you. What he can do for you. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Boy, there is a lot in that little statement right there. Man, that thing is loaded. I mean, it is packed. So why did he show up to Mary Magdalene first? Because he did a lot for her. He forgave her of a lot. She loved him more because of where he'd brought her from. You know what's wrong with us? We haven't been to hell. You haven't been to hell. You don't know what he saved you from. You have no idea what he saved you from. Do you think she'd have gone to a worse place in hell than you would have? What is it? What's the difference? The difference is we have a self-righteousness about us. We see her as worse than we are. We don't get it. He showed up to her first because she was suffering the most. Why do you think she got up while it was still dark? You think she slept that night? You think she'd been sleeping much since he was crucified? Man, that woman was in torment. She was aching inside. She wanted to get as close as she could get to him. She went as fast as she could beat feet down there. After the Passover, get that thing done. First day of the week, early in the morning, head on down there. What you going to do, woman? I don't know, but I want to get close. If I can find him, I'll do it again. I'll do it again. She was hurting, man. She was suffering. Does your heart ache to see him? Do you really care? I mean, is he real to you? Is he just a name a lot of times and a prayer on your lips? Do you feel him inside? Is there anything that draws you to him? I mean, isn't there anything in there that really makes you want to see him? There ain't nothing down here holding me, boy. Maybe that's why the Lord gave us them Model A's, Brother Selden. Just so we wouldn't be too bored. She loved him more than all the rest. That's why I showed up to her. You know why God doesn't do more for us? Why he didn't do more for the disciples? It has to do with love. Man, if you get a hold of that thing, it'll change you and everybody that you come in contact with. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, I don't believe that all you ought to talk about is just God. I like talking about Model A's, but I like to talk about who gave it to me. I like to talk about why he gave it to me. He's a God of pleasure, giving me all things richly to enjoy. And this down here is as bad as it's going to get. I mean, from here on, things are going to get straightened out real good. But he didn't expect us to suffer. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So whose fault is it if you don't have a good day? As a Christian, it's your fault. And the reason it's your fault is because you're thinking of what you don't have instead of what you do have. What was compelling her was the feeling she had within her. What changed me was the feelings I had toward God when he did something great for me. That's what changed me. I mean, everybody that knows me from before that and after that, you know I ain't the same guy that I used to be. Man, the Lord did something, and it was for his glory. That sickness was for his glory. Why do you think Jesus said, "Touch me not," over there in John 20:17? Why do you think he said that? Afraid she's going to contaminate him or something? I mean, stop and think about this. Here is a woman that's so desperately in love with him that she couldn't wait to get down there and try to anoint his body, do something. And she gets there and he's gone. And boy, it goes from this terrible heartache to now this empty void. Now she's even more disconnected from him because she doesn't know where he's at. And she sees this shadowy thing, you know, supposing him to be the gardener. And she says, you know, tell him where he's at. He said, "Mary, man, I know that voice." What do you think the next thing she would have done was? You betcha, boy. She'd have wrapped her arms around him. She said, "Don't make me ever let go."
Yes, amen.
He said, "Don't touch me." "How come? I haven't ascended my Father yet." Yeah. "You're the only one that got this special treat. You. None of the disciples. Nobody else. Just you." "How come?" "Because she loved him." You know what our problem is? We think our sins are not so bad. I've said some things in the past, and I'm sure some of you just misunderstand it. You think, "What in the world are you talking about? My sins are precious to me." You say, "How in the world can you say that?" Because they're so important. That's what makes him important. The minute I minimize my sin, I minimize what he did for me. If you don't see yourself as that sinner that's without hope in this world, if you see yourself as better than somebody else, that humility we talked about for quite a while, if you don't see yourself like that, you can't love him like you should. You want to know how to love him? You begin to get a hold of what he's done for you. Where your sins would have put you without having to go there. And we're coming up on Thanksgiving here. You're going to be thankful for food. You're going to be thankful for all kinds of great things that he's given us. That's not what to be thankful for. What you ought to be thankful for is, to begin with, number one, he created you. Number one. Number two, he created you for his pleasure, not for a servant. Number three, he's a God of pleasure, and in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Man, those are the things to be thankful for. You be thankful for who he is, what a loving God he is. That's it. And he loves us still. And what he wants us to do is, he wants us to return that love to him. Now, he loves us with a love that we can't understand. And we don't give him back enough of it for him to even feel it hardly. Does he love you when you're sinning? Yeah. "What about my sins, God?" "I took care of it. What are you so worried about it for?" Because when you start worrying about your sins, you start trying to do something about them. You can't do anything about them. That's who you are. You think that you're worse than Mary Magdalene or better than she is? You're all the same. It don't matter if you've offended one, you've offended them all. I'll tell you what we ought to be thankful for. You ought to be thankful that he has mercy, not justice, not judgment. His mercy endureth forever. That's just stuff to be thankful for. It's not answering this prayer. It's not helping somebody over here that needs help. It's not fixing this problem. That stuff is immaterial. You want to be thankful? You're thankful for who he is. And you begin to realize what genius it takes to create this kind of stuff. People that walk around by talking them into existence. Planets that sail around there all organized, doing what they're supposed to do. A future that we cannot even describe. And we're going to get to meet him, and we're going to get to live with him, and we will always be with the Lord, man. When that thing starts, when that trumpet sounds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the stuff to be grateful for, not this stuff down here. Let's close in prayer.